Okay, so a policeman pulled over a car that was speeding. And in the car were all nuns, you know, the Roman Catholic faith. The policeman pulled the car over because it wasn't speeding too fast, it was speeding too slow. And the policeman pulled the car over and said, "Ma'am, you realize you're in a 65-mile-an-hour zone and you're going 22 miles an hour." And the nun who was driving said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I saw a lot of signs that said 22. I didn't see any that said 65. The policeman answered, "Oh, sister, 22 is the route number, not the speed limit. It's the name of the highway you're on, 22. To which the nun said, "Oh, silly me, silly me. Thanks for letting me know. I'll be more careful next time." The policeman then looked in the back seat, and there were three nuns in the back seat, and they were all trembling. And the policeman said, "Well, excuse me, sister, what's wrong with your friends? Why are they shaking? Why does it look like they just experienced something terrible?" To which the driver, the nun, said, "Oh, we just got off Highway 119. Get it? Okay, those of you at home, if you get it, great. Laugh, put a laugh option up. If you don't get it, look, put one up anyway. Okay. Hey, folks, the reason why I bring this to you is because right now it feels like we're on a chaotic ride. Does it not? Feels like we're going 119 in a 22-mile-an-hour zone. We live in chaotic times. We're in the middle of a pandemic still, of this COVID-19. We've had the protests, the demonstrations over George Floyd. We've had disagreements over what does this mean, what does that mean, and whether you've had it personally or you've had it on the internet. We've had lots of them. We've had the confusion. What phase are we really in? And what phase are we getting into? And how do we get there? We've had the question many people are asking, well, which lives do matter? We don't know what the future holds. In fact, we don't even know what it means to go to the grocery store. Which way do we go in? By the way, Marcus changed that yesterday, and I was all confused. I went in the entrance they've been telling us about, and now I'm allowed to go in the other entrance. And when you walk in, I actually walked halfway there and forgot my mask. I had to go back and get it. Too much thinking nowadays. Too much, you know, things going on around us. And this chaotic moment doesn't even begin to look at the pain of the past and how all that stuff we brought with us into the present, like a friend has betrayed us, or we received unfair treatment in a job, or we've been abused growing up. We've had a loved one die in the past or recently. You see, in Peter's day, he lived in chaotic times as well. We're not unique. For Peter, it was a different kind of chaos. It was a chaos of living under government oppression. It was a chaos of having to function in a new kind of faith, a faith in which you're leaving behind some of the old patterns, and you're establishing new ones. They lived in the chaos, and when they became a Christian, Jewish friends left them. When they became a Christian, were they still Jewish or not? They lived in the chaos of persecution, because when Peter wrote this letter, the great persecution is just starting to begin. They lived in very chaotic times. It's important for us to hear that. In our chaos moments, what a great leader of the faith tells us as he lived through chaos moments. That's why Peter sent this letter. It's a Catholic letter. In other words, the letter goes out to all people of all times, and it's addressed to us who are living in this world. You've got to remember one important thing. Yes, we're in this world, but we're really not. The moment we accepted Jesus as Savior, we took a step into another realm. We changed our relationship status from being grounded in this world to grounded in the kingdom of heaven. We changed our reality from focusing on all the things of this world and holding on to this world to focusing on what comes next, because we're guaranteed what comes next. We've changed our address from earth to heaven. Realize, because of this, this is a short trip for us here. that something greater does await us. Years and years ago, for the Presbyterian Church, I got a chance to take a trip to Arizona. And I was on a committee, and we were talking about national Presbyterian things. The literature they sent about the hotel I'd be staying at didn't match up with the hotel I stayed at. Okay? Needless to say, it looked like a great resort. It looked like a 5-star. I arrived, it was not even 1-star. Okay? It was old looking. It was musty. It was very, very small. The bathroom, you could barely close the door and get into it. It was tiny. You know the beauty? I was only there for 2 days. It was tolerable then, because I was only there for 2 days. But I also knew something really awesome was waiting for me. My home here in Washington County. I knew that where I live out in the country, there's fresh air. I wasn't cooped up in a city. I knew coming back here, my family would be waiting for me. I'd have rest because I'd be sleeping on my pillow. I could put up with a hotel bed because I was only temporarily there. And the same is true of us now. Realize we're only here for a short time. And in terms of eternity, this is not even a period in a novel or a book. It's that small. Now, does that excuse us from making a difference in this world? No. It only gives us the ability to know we're here a short time, and we have to make a difference in this world. It's our responsibility to bring love and bring God's presence here to earth. Remember, because it's not our home, we can look forward. But because we're here now, we get to fix it up. Jesus gave us this dual thought at the end of the 16th chapter of John. He said, I share these words to you so you may know peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So what we do in the world is to take the love and light of Jesus Christ and apply it to the situations we find here present among us. Psychologists have found that when we realize there's an end to whatever we're going through, we can endure it better. Part of the problem is when we don't know an end, despair comes into our heart. But when we know there's an end, that something better awaits us, we can put up with the most cruel of circumstances, the most difficult of situations, because we know the end is coming. And we know an end is coming. Peter told us this. In fact, he put it in incredible format. He says we have a living hope. Now, when I say I hope for something, it's an expectation that something is coming. When I say I hope for something, I don't have the power to make any difference in that. You know, I hope it doesn't rain today, or I hope it's sunny today, I hope it's cooler today, I hope I'll get $1 million. All of those are grounded in nothing, really. But when we say we have a living hope, and that hope is grounded in Jesus Christ, it's grounded in something real and powerful and life-changing. See, when we say we have a living hope in Jesus Christ, the hope is grounded in the person who defeated death. It's grounded in the person who now is in a position of power. Realize that when we look at the life of Jesus, his resurrection, he defeated all the things that plague us today. He defeated death. He defeated Satan. He defeated sin. And so now when we say we have a living hope grounded in Jesus Christ, we have a hope grounded not in like a fallacy, grounded in a person. It's grounded in power. It's grounded in the one who now sits at the right hand of God. That ultimately every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. So when we say we have a living hope in Jesus Christ, in the resurrected Lord, we're grounding that in power. Power of God. Now, the first thing the Apostle Peter tells us that we get from this living hope is this change of destination. We get this change of reality. He says we'll receive an inheritance. Now, he goes and says in the rest of that letter, that first portion, that that inheritance is salvation. And what we receive is the salvation that comes to us through Jesus Christ. Now, the inheritance is we have a destination. It's eternal in nature. is given to us by Jesus, we have the opportunity to now know there's a new reality. But the salvation also means that the present reality has changed. It's not just a future hope. It's a present reality change moment. For salvation means that which plagues us at sin, we've now removed from us. Through Jesus Christ, the sin is forgiven. And we don't have to hold on to it and see the core of this animosity we have around us is sin. Because when we live in sin, we don't like God, we don't like each other. But that's forgiven through Jesus Christ. As a result of Him being raised from the dead, He's the power to forgive the sin, change us. So we don't have to live with prejudice, we don't have to live with discrimination. Because we look around us, all are created in the image of God. Everyone's created in the likeness of God. And so we now see with a different lens, a different viewpoint. And even though you may be older or younger, you may have this color skin or that color skin, you may be richer or poorer, you may have a good education or no education, you know what? We're still all made in the image of God. That's what salvation, that's what that forgiveness can do to us. It takes the blinders away. It takes the film off our eyes. And we can see each other as God sees us. The problem in our world today, this is why we're not of the world. We're in it, but we're not of the world, is that the world sees sin. And when you sin, sin defines you. God says, no, no, please don't. I'm going to wipe that sin away. But when you live in sin, sin defines your character, defines your actions. Unless you step into the light and love of Jesus Christ, which then takes all that away. And that's God's resounding no, don't live in sin. Live in the reality of the new world, that you're now part of God's realm, founded in the love and care of Jesus Christ. As a result of this, when we're living in Jesus, He defines us. He defines us as salt and light. He defines us as the positive force in a world today that is spiraling out of control. We're to be the ones who build up those who are hurt by life. It's our responsibility to stand with the abused and the oppressed. It's our responsibility to speak words of love and words of kindness. Peter then got descriptive with our salvation. Just so you think it's not temporary, he first then calls it imperishable. We can translate this as being indestructible. It's immortal. Salvation is eternal. Pretty much what I've been saying all along. You ground yourself in salvation, it takes you off into eternity, and then you enjoy God and your loved ones now and forever. The reason why it's eternal? It comes from an eternal God. Then, I'm not doing them in the order they were in the scripture, because I'm going to save the second one for last. But it also says that salvation is unfading. In other words, you can translate it as new, it's fresh. It's always new and fresh every day. And when we walk with Jesus, every day is fresh and new. It's always exciting. It never fades. Years ago, I used to listen to tape cassettes. You remember those things? That technology's gone. Not the 8-track, the little ones, okay? And so I left on the dashboard one of my favorites. Oh, the band called Petra. Loved it, right? Well, it sat on the dashboard every day. And in Virginia Beach, where I came from, right, the sun is really hot down there. It's really a lot bright. So I took it to a Petra concert, and I wanted them to sign it. I couldn't even tell what the name of the CD was, or the cassette was. I couldn't tell. It had faded out like that. And they laughed at it. They signed it anyway. But they, we got a big kick out of it. Well, God's salvation is not like the cassette that sat on your dashboard. It slowly faded away. Every day is brand new. Every day, new opportunities. Every day, God tells us something new about ourselves and how we can reach out and touch the world. Every day is brand new. It's fresh. Now, the last aspect I'd like to share with you about the inheritance we have, the salvation we have, is that it's undefiled. It's pure. It's not spoiled. All right, let me give you the second joke of the sermon. A woman was asked, she asked her husband, she said, "Do you think our kids are spoiled?" To which the husband responded, "No, I think all kids smell like this." Okay, good. I'm glad you got that. Okay. But you get the idea. When we think of spoiled, we think of something that gets like kind of rotten, kind of yuck, right? But not with salvation. What happens in our lives is that sin makes us spoiled. Sin creates a dirtiness in our lives. That's why God gave salvation. The present reality of this inheritance, so that we can take the spoilage out of us, so that we can live fresh and new every day. And when we go to Jesus and say, "Jesus, I've got this," he washes us clean. Now, I Googled, what never spoils? If you look on the screen over there, there is one thing that never spoils. You know, there's things that last a long time. Salt lasts a long time. Sugar lasts a long time. White rice, shock you to no end. If you've got that in your cabinet and it's out of date, guess what? It's still going to last. Soy sauce lasts a long time. I'm shocked by that one. But the one thing that lasts all the time, one food that never spoils, they found it in the pyramids, and it continues to be fresh, is honey. Now, think about it for a minute. What does honey mean to us? And I always think that there is great symbolism in things. First and foremost, what does honey get? It's sweet. Oh, is it sweet? I had it on my toes this morning. Just so I could tell you, it was sweet and I had it on my toes this morning. But it is really sweet. And this is what God's salvation is for us. It makes every day sweet. Even in the midst of all this stuff that's crushing on us, we can know God's love. We can know his salvation is sweet, like honey. The other thing interesting about honey is that when you try and look through it, okay, it doesn't quite allow you to see to the other side. And so you only see what's inside of it. Even if I try and look through it, I honestly can't see you. Okay, try it when you get home. Try and look through it. You can't. All you see is the honey. And this is the interesting thing about the salvation, is that we want to be able, as we get closer and closer to Jesus, to see Jesus as the answer to many things in our lives today. That Jesus is the big core of who we are. And so when we go and we find someone who's angry with us, we apply Jesus' principles. When we find someone who's hurt, we apply Jesus' principles. You get the idea. We apply the love that's present there. So whenever we look through the lens of the indestructible salvation, what we see is God's love. We don't see, let's bring revenge for revenge. Let's bring anger for anger. No, those things don't work. Let's see the application of God's love all the time. The last thing about honey. If you're in a hurry, don't use honey. Right? Not quite like molasses, but it doesn't flow quick. And this demonstrates the fact that if you want to change the world today, yeah, we can tear things down. Harder is to build them up. And that's what love's all about. Love's about building up. Love takes longer. It does. But it's more effective in the long run. Hate and anger are quick, but they burn out real fast. And the end result is you still have to build. So let's go the route of the unspoiled honey. Let's apply that one thing that does take longer, but is more effective, which is the love of Jesus Christ. And so in our world today, as we look at the chaos around us, let's listen and apply love. In the chaos around us, let's listen to God. What does God want us to do in the middle of all this? And let's apply godly principles. Let's be slow to anger, slow to speak, applying grace whenever we find it. The end result is we'll be able to see how God wants us to be in this world by giving us the opportunity to be in these situations. That's what Peter was telling us. This salvation that is imperishable, undefiled, this salvation that has no chance of spoiling, will not fade, is for us to utilize in the world today. Not just for that far off time. It's so we can apply it to the situation we find around us. Let's go to God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the chance to know. Chance to know that you are here with us now. that we're to apply your incredible love, no matter what situations we find ourselves in. We thank you for Jesus, who showed that to us. Rather than being frustrated with the disciples, he continued to explain, to show love. Rather than being frustrated with us, he continues to send forgiveness and salvation. We thank you, Lord, for not only the example of Jesus, but the power of the living Lord. Lord God, watch over us as we seek to be your people in this world, to be your salt and light. It's in our Savior's name we pray.